Hey guys, welcome back to the Traders Show by Financial Hub. So today it's me and Ken, and we're going to talk, we're going to catch up. We have been away for some time. The last podcast we did, I believe, was with our very good friend Rick, and that video did tremendously well. A lot of you resonated with it, you really enjoyed it, and also us ourselves. If you watch that podcast, you'll know that we ourselves enjoyed our times here with Rick. And now we're also looking forward to having a lot more other guests and traders as well. Not only traders, we keep saying it a lot, we also like bringing entrepreneurs, because we believe people who are just going out of their niche, going out of something outside their comfort zone, is the type of people we want to bring here. And we believe the Traders Show is a show where we trade ideas, not just about trading the forex or stock market, but also trading ideas. How did you do this? How did you run your business? How did you start it? How did you... different stuff. So that will be coming very soon. But today, Ken and I want to give an update of what has been going on. For the past first quarter of the year, a lot of things have happened in the prop firm space, especially the prop firms. And a lot of you rely on us on giving updates about the prop firms. And a lot of you have also been asking in our video YouTube comments to give updates of that. And we'll be doing that this coming week. A lot of videos are yet to come out of our YouTube channel, so you'll be hearing us. Even by the time maybe you're watching this video, you'll have already heard what you said about different prop firms that we have. So I want to give an update of that, how our first quarter has been, how trading has been, the ups and downs. Ken will give his update, how he started the quarter, then how he ended the quarter. Also, I'll give mine. It's trading is a lot of ups and downs, a lot of also... there's a time you can't help it but make a lot of money. There's that quote that says, sometimes you can't help but get rained on. When it's raining too much, even if you have an umbrella, you're still going to get wet. So we'll give an update on that. And then our partner Taras also will join us in the next one. He's a bit held up wherever he is. But yeah, that's basically it from me. I'm happy to be back. And from now on, this quarter, we're going to, trust you me, we're going to have a lot of content. A lot of content is going to come out. And like the first quarter where we had about 5-6 podcasts, this quarter, you'll see that we'll have almost double that number. But that's it for me. Maybe Ken will introduce himself.
So hi guys, like Caleb has said, welcome back to another episode. It's been quite some time, I think 3 or 4 weeks since we did an episode. Most times we get things, you know, that pull you aside from some of these projects and you have to focus on other projects. But we always make sure to at least come back and ensure we're doing content and consistently, and to ensure at least we're sharing with you the nuggets of what you're learning. Often when you see us taking those long breaks, it's a learning process. It's like we're learning new things which we'll come back now to at least share with you. So today, like Caleb said, we're going to review quarter one. I think... quarter one and the first month of quarter two is coming to an end this week, I think, April. So about a third of the year is gone.
We have around tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. So a third of the year is gone. We have about another two thirds. You can still attain your goals if you have long-term goals. If you didn't have, you can still set some goals for the year, you know. You can make this year your year, still very early, at least even half the year. But you can't figure the last quarter, probably you're too late for you to turn around things. Anyway, we're going to look at markets. We're going to look at our own personal trading. We're going to look at the prop industry. There's a lot that has happened from those three dimensions, I think, if I just talk about it. So I think we can start off from the main thing which brings us all here, which is the financial markets. I think we started the year with the markets pricing in about 3, 4, 5 rate cuts from the Feds. It's only a quarter in and markets have come back to at least probably we're going to get 1 or 2 hikes, not 3 or 4 like we had planned. We expected the first hike to be in June, which is next month, and right now it's in May. So we're really keen to see what the Feds will do on Wednesday. I think they're going to have their meeting on Wednesday. Interest rates are the most important indicator of where the economy is likely to go. If you do some basic economics, you'll understand that debt is the structure of that builds economies. So a big part of what happens in the economy is dependent on the lending rate or the interest rate. So inflation has started ticking higher again. So inflation was ticking lower from around 2022. End of 2022, we started ticking lower as the Fed started hiking rates. We went low all the way to 3%, but since we got to 3%, we've never gone anywhere lower. So we're now at 3.2. We've seen 3.4. Some printing on inflation in the US. That's also a problem. That means rates need to be higher for longer. So it's a very, very hard dynamic for markets, an uncertain one. Our job is to react, not to predict. So if you had predicted you have 4 or 5 rate cuts, I'm sure by now you realize you're wrong. If you think we'll have one or none, probably you'll be wrong by the time we get to December. In simple terms, economics is a very social science, and you shouldn't spend your time trying to forecast what the economies do or trying to predict. You know, you should just try as much as possible to react to what is happening around you and look at risk from that perspective. So I think I could start with that. From a market's perspective, I think that's the main theme that we are currently having. Besides the wars, which Caleb will probably talk about, I think the main themes we have is inflation, we have interest rates, and finally we have the election cycle in the US. So in November, again, we're going to get a new government, or the remaining one will remain. We know clearly Republicans have very, very different laws and policies, unlike Democrats. For example, Republicans favor lower tax rates. Democrats favor higher tax rates. Like right now, if you look at the campaign trail, Biden is trying to propose a 25% tax on billionaires. I don't think 25% tax on wealth. So I don't think that will really work. We've seen the effect of wealth taxes in France, for example. You could see what happened when that was imposed. I think the same will happen if Biden tries to do that in the US. However, I don't even think he will win. Those are my thoughts, my opinions. Don't take them with a grain of salt, you know. I'm just talking out loud what I think. So it's not gospel truth or what should be followed. In the event of a Trump presidency, you should be pricing in, you know, what policies are going to be reversed. For example, the aids Ukraine are getting probably will disappear. We're going to have lower taxes. China and US is going to be one hell of a relationship to be tackled. So a lot.
Again.
Yeah, you know, again, we are starting all over again. So as all these things unfold, markets are probably going to begin another new cycle, you know, with the elections, how they'll turn out, where inflation will be, and the different things that will come along. So a recession, we've been waiting for one for quite some time. The American economy has proven to be more resilient than we think, you know. Also, for me, I thought, you know, with rates at 5.5, there's no way you couldn't topple over the economy. Turns out there was so much money in the economy, meaning the economy is still strong. I think from the labor numbers, it shows the economy is still strong. Last week, we had a GDP printing which showed 1.6 growth rather than 3.4, which was predicted. But if you look at the general trend, yes, growth is slowing down, but you've still not gone into negative quarters or where growth is not there. So if you look at all those indicators, I think you should think around how you should position yourself, you know, both long-term, short-term, which assets you should be watching out for from a fundamental perspective and from those two indicators perspective. So there's much more before you figure out how to craft a portfolio, or what to trade and how to trade it. But I think that's how I can start with what happened in the last quarter.
Yeah. So as Ken has explained it, that's a lot of fundamentals. And we like teaching here. I like teaching in my class. In the first class, I always give a breakdown of what is to be expected. And when I'm teaching about fundamentals and mixing it with technicals, I'm always showing people technicals is a visual representation of what is happening fundamentally. And fundamentals answers the question why.
Yeah.
Why is the dollar going up? Why is the dollar going down? Today, we were just checking out with Ken. The yen has been really losing against the dollar. And today we saw a big surge to the downside where the yen really gained against the dollar. And today's move only, but for the past couple of weeks, months, the dollar has really been strengthening against the yen. So if you find the reason behind that, it's not technical. Technical is that visual, the candlesticks, the analysis you do. That's basically a visual representation of what is actually happening. Why are people buying? Why are people selling? Then it's represented technically. So when you see a trend moving up in the technical, in the charts, the technical analysis, a lot of people come and see and say, the market is going up because we can see it's going up. The markets are not going up because they're going up. There's a reason why the markets are going up. And the answer is always found in the fundamental analysis. Interest rates. Interest rates, as Kenna said, is the backbone of all financial markets, be it stock market, crypto, currencies, bonds, anything, because that's what interest rate is what affects the supply and demand in a nutshell. Okay, if interest rates are low, supplies a lot, people can borrow more, etc. So those are the things we teach in class and vice versa. But also markets react differently to fundamentals. Just because we read this is what should happen doesn't mean necessarily this is what should happen. Mm-hmm. For example, this quarter, what happened? Bitcoin halving. I think it's actually this second quarter, start of the second quarter is when Bitcoin, this April. A lot of people are just saying Bitcoin halving. If you know Bitcoin halving is when after a couple of years and couple of blocks have been mined, the supply tends to less. And when you mine, instead of getting a certain number of blocks, you get much less. Okay. I don't know now where. Where are the 3 point or 1 point?
One point. Yeah.
So when you, 1 month ago, if you mined a block, you get 3 point something bitcoins. I think it was 3.25. Now, if you mine, you get 1 point.
Six something.
So people are expecting immediately halving happens, Bitcoin is going to shoot to the moon because supply is less and demand is high. But that's not necessarily what has happened. If you look at the chart, it's actually still moving sideways. If you bought it before the halving and after the halving, we've just been dangling there at 66,000, around that point, 65,000. So markets don't always react that way to the market. So this is why you need further understanding, further experience. What you read on the book is not what you see in the charts. It's not what actually happens. Another example I'll give, and it has happened a lot, and I did a video on this, is when you're looking, and this is just simple analysis for you guys who do technical analysis. Go look at the charts. When you're looking at the charts, when markets are moving in an uptrend, the best double tops are normally found in a uptrend. True? That's what we are taught, but that's not the truth. Practically, the best double tops are found in a downtrend. And the best double bottoms are found in an uptrend. So come for classes and I'll teach you and I'll show you how they work. But since I've just given you that analogy, go check it out for yourself. Practically, we read this, but after how long have you been trading now? 7 years?
7 years.
Seven,
yeah.
8 years is when now we learn, oh, this is not what happens. This is what happens.
Here at Financial Hub, we offer the first two classes of our masterclass for free. In the first class, Introduction to Trading, you learn the initial overview of the concepts, principles, and practices involved in trading. In the second class, Fundamental Analysis, you learn the underlying factors driving supply and demand in the markets. You can get in touch with us by calling the number below or filling the form in the description box. Or you can visit our offices at Lavington Mall, Chandarana Building, 4th floor, office number 401.
But other than that, as Kenna said, not to talk too much on fundamentals. Maybe now I can dive deep also, talk about personal trading. We started the quarter on opposite sides of our performance, Ken and I. I started very well. The first 2 months were very good months. And then the last month, March, I had a very... Actually, did I win any trade in the month of March? I don't think in the month of March I won any trade. But January and February, very good. Very good. I got withdrawals on the prop funds. I ended up even passing more challenges to get funded. If you watch our YouTube, you've seen that I posted. I got funded more, etc. and all that. So that first quarter started well. Then the last part of the quarter ended up quite tough. April, now I'm actually up 4%. So April, I'm quite good. If the month ends by tomorrow and I don't have a trade, it's just March this year that I've had a very tough time. But it's also good because in the tough times is when you learn the most. It's just how it is. Even if you try your best when you're winning to learn as much as you can, I'm not saying you can't learn, and you can also push yourself to learn as much as you can, but somehow just naturally when you're in a losing streak, maybe Ken will also share, is when you go deeper into backtesting, you go deeper into journaling, you're more cautious of the trades you're taking, you're more patient. But I think in the patient side, it needs more experience. People who are really new to trading, when they are losing,
that's when they are more aggressive.
And funny thing is that you can be more aggressive and just make it back up very quick.
But eventually you die out.
Yeah, but eventually you also continue going back down. So you tend really to go into down into your notes. The funny thing is, during this time, I think most of you can relate, once you've traded for a lot of years and you've gotten a system that works, is that you already believe in the system. So you're not even thinking of changing the system. It's just a matter of when will this system come back to work. The only thing I can control is not the outcome, but the risk management. At any day, even the pattern that I trade, maybe sometimes it's biased. I forced a certain pattern. So it means also the pattern is not really good. But the only thing that I can do really well and really good is risk management. And risk management means when you're doing bad, cut down on the normal risk you're taking. For example, if you're trading the prop firms, you know, maximum 8 to 10% maximum drawdown, depending on the prop firm you're using. So the more you're going to do a drawdown, the more you need to cut down, okay, not increase, okay, especially if you're taking them much seriously, especially when you're in the live market, okay. If you're in the live, you're funded, you don't want to lose this account. You spent 2 months or more trying to get this account, so you try as much as possible not to lose the account. And the best way to do that is through proper risk management. So into March, when I started losing, I had to cut down on my risk, and I did a lot of backtesting. And I think this past 2 months, March and April, I've learned a lot in terms of my trading performance. Not that I've not been learning, but I'm really improving. You know, when you're winning, it's more about implementing what is working.
Yep.
When you're losing, it's a matter of now learning. And what when you lose, wrong. Doesn't necessarily mean you're doing the wrong thing. Okay, don't get me wrong. Not just because I'm losing, I need to correct something. When I'm losing, it's a matter of how can I... what is it I'm doing? Am I still doing the right thing? So you question yourself. You look at all your trades. So you compile your trades. And that's something we always do. Like for me, I've compiled all my first quarter trades. And I remember I was telling Kian, I told you I took how many trades?
About around 26.
26. Give or take. So around roughly 10 trades per month. Okay. So I can analyze each and every of those trades. One thing I'm proud of, I followed my system. Okay, never deterred from my system, and I remain true to my pairs. So consistency of pairs, consistency of system, consistency of risk, okay, consistency of time frame. You won't find like I went into a 5 minute chart and executed a trade. So there are those things I did well, and I clap for myself. Even though I had a tough month in the last month of March, it's still good. Okay, I learned what to do and what not to do. Okay, and also what to continue doing. Even if I was losing, if I get this certain trade, even if it was a loser, I'll do it again and again and again. So those are just reaffirmations, and then going back to back testing, getting more data, and just refining and understanding your system much more. And I think that also led me to learn something new. I think it's a new approach that I might use.
Mm-hmm.
Like us, we normally say, Ken and Irina don't introduce me to this, what we call the scientific method. When you learn something, you take it through the scientific method. First, what is it? Observation?
Yeah, so you learn the observations, then you test your observations. After you test your observations, you collect data, you analyze the data, you come up with conclusions, then you think if it's profitable or not profitable.
Exactly. Yeah, so you observe something, you say this pattern, I've been observing it, it works well, come up with a hypothesis.
Yep.
Then the hypothesis, you go and test it through back testing.
Yep.
Through the different softwares we use. We use FX Replay. For those who've not known, there's a link below, so you can click on it, you'll get a 15% discount. But other than that, you get the data, as Ken said, analyze the data, come up with a conclusion. That conclusion is what you'll come up with, a trading plan. And I tell people in my class that you cannot have a trading plan without back testing. What plan is that? It doesn't make sense. Come up with a plan, then I'll trade the plan. And then the plan, like I like saying, is not, yes, it's to help you achieve your goal, but at the same time, it's also to help you know when you're lost. And that's what we use Google Maps for. You know, when you're lost, then you're like, hey, Ken, fungo to Google Maps.
Open me pot, yeah.
We don't know where we are.
What plan?
Yeah, we know we are going somewhere, but open the plan so that we know where we lost in terms of achieving our goal.
Yep.
Okay, so a trading plan is also to help for that. Another thing a trading plan also helps is to help protect you against yourself, because in trading, you are your weakest link. You're the one who will be afraid to take a trade.
Yep.
You're the one who's going to take a trade. Like, I remember this quarter, after I got into this losing drawdown, I was losing, cutting down my risk, to a point where I'd cut down my risk to 0.25. And then the last trade that I took, I was like, you know what? I followed the system. Let me take this trade. I took that trade and closed my laptop. I didn't look at that trade again. The next time I looked at that trade is the next day when I woke up. I normally put alarms on my targets and my stop loss. So when I woke up, I saw the alarm had been hit on TradingView. It always shows you their notification. So I just knew, this one was hit too fast. Of course, it's a loss.
Yeah.
Because the loss is closer than the TP. So I knew the TP, it was Aussie dollar. I knew that will take like 2-3 days. So the next day, I'm expecting, if the worst case scenario is stop loss. So looking like this, my TP had been hit. Meaning, it's just a matter of following your system. But at the same time, like I'm saying, you are the weakest link. If I didn't take that trade, it will have just been... Now imagine not taking trades and missing out on the good trades just to come back to take a trade, which is a losing trade. So you'd rather just take all of them because it will even out, especially if you've done backtesting. It will even out. And if you have a big risk reward, the winners are going to be bigger than your losses in the end, cumulatively. So that's what happened. I think I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot to follow my system, to change. Sometimes you question a lot. Like I always come to Ken and Taras and tell them, hey, I mean, I'm thinking of doing this other thing. And then they can see it from an objective point of view and tell me, hey, Caleb, I think what you're doing is fine. You know, sometimes you can become subjective and be like, maybe what I'm doing is wrong. Ken will share his, but the first quarter when he started, I'm gonga. And then this last month, the last quarter, it was March, yeah? March and April, yeah. Ken will share how he came back and even surpassed where he was in his losses. But yeah, so that's what it has been for me, a lot of learning experience. I think I'll share that more technically instead of just talking about it when I do market analysis or how I made, how I lost. I'll compile it and show you the lessons that I've learned, the trades that I took, what I did wrong, what I did right. But personally, as much as I hit the losses and get the winners also, It's really fun. Another thing I've learned is to be very patient. On the trades that I really won are the trades that I was very patient. If at a time maybe you want to get some money here and there and you know you have a live account, let me just try and press something. I think those are the things. I think the market always comes, or sometimes I think on some trades, it was a matter of maybe pushing my target a bit more. So you have this target. Yeah, you're trying to make more. You're like, okay, I have a winner. My target is supposed to be here, but I can make another 2% on top of it. Let me push my target higher. At least I made that mistake of pushing targets rather than saying, this is a very good trade. Let me risk more.
Yeah, you know? I get. Like there are costly mistakes and then there are mistakes which will not be done at all.
Exactly. Okay. Like if I did that one, like let me just risk 2%. Because it's the same thing. I want to make more. It's just that this one, I moved my target, but also you can say, let me risk more. If I did the risking more, I think I'd have blown some of my prop firm accounts by now. So that's what I'm saying. The best thing you can do, just try as much as you can. And ukifanya maujinga zingine, just try ujinga usifanya ni risk management. Always allow yourself to lose, but to trade another day. Does that make
Definitely.
Sense? Allow yourself to lose, but be able to trade the next day.
Definitely.
Like losses are not bad. They always happen, but leave your account room to be able to trade the next day. So yeah, so that's those are a couple of things I've learned this past quarter. Really been interesting, really been fun. Maybe Ken can share his, then I can add a bit more.
Yep. So like Caleb has said, you know, trading, when you're trading at least in a team, you can be able to see, you know, the different natural fluctuations that happen in the market. When the year started, he was doing exceptionally well. I was really struggling. I remember even shooting a video, sharing with you guys how I'd lost some money. I think I had a very good October, November, December. So I closed the year very well. But from December, when I started in January and February, it was just hell. Like, I remember there were like 3 weeks, I think, between mid-January and end of January, I think, and or start of February. I had 3 losing weeks. I'd come in on Monday, I'd execute my positions, and by Wednesday, I was lost. But come in on Monday again, I'd next execute, week. Loss. For 3 consecutive weeks, I lost money like that. Between Monday and Wednesday. And I remember
Wednesday
I made...
you quit.
Yeah, like so that. I'd say, you know, when you lose money by Wednesday, like you've said...
Till next week,
you know, you're playing defense.
Yeah.
The fact that you've lost money by Wednesday means there's either a view or a pattern that you're observing that is not working well. So you should be out of the market. That's how I take it. So I remember very well the last week of February, I made money because of inflation data in the US.
You had a trade running.
I had a gold short position. The trade worked in like 30, 40 minutes. I'd made my money. I was out. And that's how I slowly started coming back. I remember that trade because it was the game changer. You know, the game changer of your psychology. When you move from a 6% drawdown now to 4.
Cut down on risk?
Yeah, definitely. So I've gone from trading a full percentage risk to trading 0.25 risk and back to trading a percentage of risk. I think
that's true.
There's one thing
we talked about those many times in the fund meeting.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was telling you, can just cut.
Yeah.
Just cut. Instead of losing the account, just cut.
Cut.
Yeah, yeah.
And you come back, you know, you see those faces.
Because I also understand you, like me personally, in the drawdown, you're like, let me just risk 0.5. This is a good trade, let me just risk one.
Like, just come back.
Because with a risk reward of 1:4, if I'm down 6, I can easily come back.
Yep. To 2%
one. But with 0.25, only 1%. But that's the game, yeah.
Yep. So that's what I did. Looked at my mistakes. And like Caleb, I wouldn't say like I was strictly following my system. I had other ideas, like he's saying, from the scientific method which I was developing. And you know, I'm a human being, so I would sometimes find myself trying to execute some of those trades. When I looked back, those were some of the positions that were losing for me money. Reason being, I had not really developed a clear edge around it. So it was like I was going back to the process of learning how to trade again by learning a new method. So one thing I've also learned is, before you start implementing a new method, give yourself time, because you need to learn the ropes of that method in and out. And learning that the ropes is either two ways. There are two ways. You can do that through back data, which is back testing. Mm-hmm. Or you can do that through forward data, which means you lose a lot of money fast for you to learn the mistakes. So for me, I went through that period. However, as March was starting, I started doing well. By the time March ended, I had come back significantly, passed some challenges. And then April, I continued doing well. So I brought back all my accounts that were in drawdown. I think right now I don't have any account in drawdown other than one small account that I have.
All big ones are profit.
Yeah, all the big ones are in profit. I have one small account, which is about 25K, down about 4%, 4.5, I think. So that's the only account that I have in drawdown. All the other accounts that I have are in the green. I can't display all of them publicly. I made that conscious decision. So I'll share with you some of them, some of the nuggets that I have in the videos that we'll be sharing. And then just keep trading, like Caleb is saying. So lessons learned.
Always show up.
Always show up, yeah. You know, lessons learned during the drawdown, like Caleb is saying. One, be patient. And be patient in all dynamics. Trading is not a day job where, like for me, I've made more money in 2 weeks than I'd thought I would ever
make,
you know, in 2 or 3 months. In 2 weeks, you know, in a space of just this week, last week, or next week, the other week, you know, you make back all your money. So as you're trading, remember, you don't need to make money consistently, like a month in, month out, or a day in, day out, or a week in, week out. No. What you need is those good periods to just be aggressive well enough, and you'll find that they make up for those bad periods. You know, you some 4, 5, 6%, you're good. You're in the right side, you're doing well, you've made your money back, and probably even more. So I'd say the first one is be patient. The second one is trust your system.
Your tested system.
Yeah, your decision making on a random basis is just, it's very hard for you to consistently beat markets if you're doing that. But if you have a pattern, you have a chance of beating markets. But if you're trying to do it by thinking around, you know, markets have done this, what will I do? It will be very hard for you to beat markets. You might find some lucky periods, but you'll find that consistently you're not making money.
True.
It's very, very hard for you to be consistent, because it's your opinion. So why do you expect to have such a high opinion of where markets are going for you to be even consistent about your opinions of where markets are going? Like, other than pride and arrogance, I don't see why someone will really believe they can really beat markets like that, especially after taking some time to observe markets. So trust a system. If you don't have a system, remember you're very, very far away from consistently making money. So develop a system first, a system that makes sense mathematically again. Systems which don't make sense mathematically, ditch them. The third one is try different approaches. So when I was in my drawdown, I decided to, you know, when you're in a drawdown, you just decide, okay, let me, like for me, when I'm in a drawdown, it really gets to my head. You know, I've people who are wired to want to win too much also feel very bad when they're losing. Like if you're a determined person, when you go through the losing periods, you're more determined because it's not part of your nature. You know, it's something that you're really trying to fight against. So I tried looking at different patterns. So I specifically looked at Caleb's pattern. So how I decided to say why, how is Caleb trading and what can I learn from that approach? And you'd be surprised, I've learned very many things from his approach. I'm actually using some of the patterns as much as I'm trying to use them differently. Again, that's another thing with trading that I'm learning. Even if you'll pick up what your partner is doing, what your friend is doing, what your mentor is doing, you still must tailor make it to fit you as an individual. Like it has to fit with your brain wiring, your perception of things, your perception of markets, how you view markets. So I'm trading the same pattern, but sometimes you'll find that I can't take the pattern he's taking, or he can't take the pattern I'm taking, or he can't buy where I'm buying, or he can't sell where I'm selling. Like, you'll just find the nitty-gritties which will make us deviate again. You know, I'll trade his pattern, maybe my exit will be different. I'll trade his pattern, maybe my entry will be different. So a lot also to learn from that, but
true,
it's very, very helpful, you know, to look at. Don't sit down there. You know, as traders, I've realized, you sit down there and we think, you know, I've figured out how I trade. I'm making money consistently. I don't need to learn anything new. No, that's a grave mistake you're making. There are very many other profitable approaches out there. And you'd be better equipped as a trader if you have 10 profitable approaches than if you have one. That's my thinking. Mm-hmm. Because, like for me now, if my pattern is not available, I can look for Caleb's pattern. If Caleb's pattern is not available, now I can stay out. Okay.
True, true.
But at least I can navigate from different patterns. You know, I'm not the man with a hammer who's just looking for a nail. At least I have a hammer, I have a screwdriver, I have something else. So I can look at a problem in different ways, or I can look at a pattern in different contexts. So learn different approaches. That's something I'd also emphasize. The fourth one that I'm recently learning, that is also quite helpful, is just focus on taking good trades. I'm not learning that. It's being cemented in my head. Like, your job as a trader is not to look for money. Your job as a trader is not to multiply money. It's not to, you know, when you come to trading profession, people think it's just about money. Turn your head around from that. If you can focus on finding the right pattern, and more than that, you focus on executing that pattern to precision, you'll be amazed by how much money you can make. You yourself will be amazed, because it will naturally flow. You know, it will be like a state of flow. So don't try too much to make money. Like Caleb said, I think I'm not repeating what he said as much as I also went through the same experiences. For example, don't try to make money. You know, you come in live and, now I'm live, I want to make which money? Just trade your live account like you are trading the challenge first. In fact, I was thinking around how it would be very beneficial for most people if they said, I'm looking for 5% for me to withdraw. Their heads would focus more on taking the right trades and being patient than, nikipata tu one na withdraw. You know, that's because true. The lower the amounts you're looking for to withdraw, the higher the chances you'll make mistakes and you'll go south in your trading. So I think those are the main things that I learned. And most importantly, just be resilient. You can start your year down, but you can close the year strong. You can start your week down, you can close the week strong. You can start your quarter down, you can close the quarter strong. You can start the month down, you can close the month strong. So be resilient. You know, tough periods will always exist. And if it's a tough period, just like beautiful periods will always exist. Again, now, like for us now, we've gone through both cycles. You know, we've gone through the good periods, you've gone through the bad periods. Mm-hmm. Like right now, when you're in your good periods, your pesa weka tu kando. Don't spoil it. Don't start thinking, you know, I've made it, so I don't need to. No. Don't do that. Just start stacking up cash. Weka tu kando. Do with it valuable things. Let cash not get into your head. Because the minute cash gets into your head, you know, you've made your $3,000, $4,000, and now you think, I can do whatever I want. So now I'm making $4,000. My friend, there's 2 months where you won't make anything. Utakumbukanga hiyo $4,000 out. You'll never forget it. So,
hello, traders. This is Taras from Financial Hub. And today I have a Did You Know? So did you know that we have free classes for our course? So the first two classes in our modules are free, so feel free to register and enroll. Come get a chance to experience our course, get a chance to experience our office and interact with us and also meet other traders. So if you're really interested in, you know, learning trading, getting into markets, kindly DM us or get a registration link below and you'll be able to get slotted in for the sessions. Seats are limited, so first come, first served. Welcome. See you here.
Even as you're making money, remember getting rich is a slow process. So as much as you might make money fast in trading,
yeah,
remember being rich is a slow process. So you really need to think around how you'll, now you know, I've made this money, how should I trade it even further? Because like for us, the money we make in props should also be traded, or it's rather traded on the other side of our trading, which we'll also share with you guys how you can benefit from that side, pole pole too, as we are developing things on that side. So I think from a quarter perspective, that's what I'd say. But most importantly, stick to your system if you have one. If you don't have one, you're still far from success. Very, very far. But if you have a system, stick to it. It will go through those rough patches and then it will eventually just come and recorrect itself and give you money. So I think those are that's where I'd start from a personal trading perspective. I'm trying to think if there's anything new I've learned that I've not shared. The other ones I'll probably share as we are going through the different things.
Yeah, also me, I'll share the rest as we put them on the rest of the videos. I'm sure you'll listen when I'm sharing. Like, one thing we'll heavily talk about is how prop firms have impacted us this quarter. A lot of prop firms came. Not came. A lot of prop firms have been there, but a lot of things have happened. The MT4 and MT5 banning. Some prop firms finding out that they're not actually paying their people. People migrating to DX Trade, then we went to C Trader, then Match Trader,
Trade Locker.
So a lot of learning has been experienced not only with us but many serious traders, even you guys who are listening. We've all learned how to use some of us DX Trade, some of us have learned how to use C Trader, and we are learning how to use much more stuff at the same time. A lot of brokers, some brokers had to shut down and open their own in-house broker. Like, the things that have happened this quarter is the most drama I've seen in the prop firm space. Ever since I started trading. We were victims as well, still following up on TFT, the funded trader. We didn't come out, like Ken said, we learned to be patient and respond to things. So immediately it just disappeared. We didn't come out the first thing and say, oh, these guys are a scam. They took our money. You have to understand the situation. Business is normal. It's just that this business is dealing with a lot of people and a lot of people's money. A lot of mismanagement happened. And we'll talk about this in there. I'd like to share it with my screens and show facts, not just from my head. Show actual receipts, which I'll do when I share how I made, how I lost, and my updates with my prop firm accounts. And I'm just basically also talking to the support team because recently they came back, so we're just trying to sort a few things here and there, get the story right, get the facts right before we start saying we don't spread rumors that don't exist. So we'll share that also for those who have been waiting for our ideas on, or rather our points on prop firms. That is yet to come. So yeah, other than that, I think that has been a good quarter. Taras will be with us next time and also give an update of what he's been doing. Like Kenny said, there's a lot of other things we've been working on the background to launch very soon, and different products, different ideas. Our goal also, as much as we're helping ourselves grow and make money for ourselves, is also to help you guys improve in different aspects of your life. So those things are going to come. We're going to share very soon. A lot of exciting stuff. That we'll be announcing very soon. You know, at the end of it, like we always say, even if anything happens, the trading skill cannot be taken away from you. Yeah, prop firms can come, prop firms can go. You can blow an account, you can make money also with an account. But at the end of the day, you can change countries, you can lose a laptop, lose a phone. Those are just minor materialistic normal stuff. But what enters the brain, what you've learned, the skill, the experience, that's what you guys should focus on, not the money. The money can also come and they go. And it can go, then come. Like Ken said, the money was going, then made it in 2 weeks. So those are things that we're going to learn a lot, and those are things we want to teach you and also help you guys benefit from us, from that. So yeah. So I think that's a good update of what has been happening. Nothing much for today. We wanted to keep it short, straight to the point, and also rush to look at other stuff. Other things, something that I'd like also to mention, I wanted to mention it earlier when I was talking about technicals, is that this quarter also we had the time shifts, something that a lot of people don't understand. I think as we came to understand time shifts well in like our third, fourth year,
it takes time.
No one ever told us in some countries time moves and it affects us. Like now, the time shifts happened in March, start of March and towards the end of March. In New York, or rather the American side, USA, and also the Europe side. So Europe did, was it Europe? Yeah, Europe did the transition first, then later on the US joined, where you summer days, they're experiencing more days than nights. Winter times, they're experiencing longer nights than the days. So the time shift tends to change. Do your own research. Is it Tulifunzwa Shule Zile? So winter solstice, summer solstice, those things. But you can just do your research. But anyway, that happened, meaning New York open is 9:30 their time, and now we are 7 hours ahead of them. So that's 4:30 p.m. our time. And before that shift, we were 8 hours ahead. Okay, meaning that 9:30 was our 5:30. So if you look at the market volatility during 4:30, that changed. Now, if you look at London Open, it used to be 11, okay, and now we've moved 2 hours ahead of them. It used to be 3 hours ahead. Now we've moved 1 hour behind. We're 2 hours ahead. So when London opens at 8 a.m. their time, it's 10 a.m. our time. So those are things to pay attention to. And that's something that also shifted and changed. Like I said, maybe those are the nitty-gritties I'll get into when I'm doing market analysis and how I made, how I lost technically using the visual representation on my laptop. But anyway, other than that, I think that's basically it. Given a good update of how our quarter started. As Kenna said, he started badly, ended well. I started well, ended, I don't like to say badly, ended just on a drawdown.
Yeah.
Also, Ken started on a drawdown, ended up in profit. Me, I started in profit, ended up in a drawdown. I don't say badly because those were learning lessons. I've learned a lot from it. But basically, now let me end it there for today. You're done as well.
Yep. I don't think I have much to add.
Yeah, let us end it there for today. We've shared a couple. Those gems we've said, Ken has said a lot, I've said a lot. Write them down, note them down. Come and visit us here at our office also. We can always talk one-on-one. We're at Lovington Mall, Chandarana Building, 4th floor, Monday to Friday. Visit us between 9 to 5. You can visit our offices. Get to know what we teach, what we do. Why Forex? Also, come see young boys what we are doing out here, what we are trying to do, the impact we are trying to leave to other people as well before we fully transition from not teaching.
Yep.
Because the school will continue, but sooner or later, Ken, Taras, and I will have to go into the next level of managing capital and leave other people to train. So come as soon as possible so that you can first-hand information from the three of us, but anytime, at your own time, no pressure. But anyway, like I always say at the end of the podcast, stay woke,
stay financially literate.
See you soon. May the peeps
be with you.
Peace.